What is going on, Suns fans? Paul and Justin coming at you with yet another episode of Bright Side of the Suns for the fans, by the fans podcast. Paul, how you doing today?
Hey, yo, how's it going?
Look at that. Australian, I like it. Is that Australian?
No, that was actually a shout-out to Trey Kirby from the Starters over at NBA TV.
Okay. I don't know what any of that means, but I'm sure Trey Kirby appreciates it. Anyway, we are coming at you on a Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Paul and I did all of our Christmas shopping. I bought Paul something very cute. It's a flat-screen TV. No, I didn't. I didn't buy you anything. Sorry. I also didn't go outside of my house today until I came over to do this because it just seems really unnecessary and kind of a huge pain in the ass.
I bought you a ugly sun sweater.
Did you really?
Did you not see the picture?
I saw the picture, but did you really buy me one? Because now I go buy you something.
I don't know. Do you want the Suns or do you want the Chargers?
I'll take both. Damn. Wait, no, that's I'm selfish. I'm sorry. That's just rude. We'll talk about this later.
Yes.
We'll talk about this later.
Yes.
We'll talk really about this later?
I really wanted to get you the blazer emblazoned with the Chargers logo, but they don't make that one. They do have it in the Patriots. I think you might like that one.
I have Patriots fans in my office. Anyway. We'll talk about Christmas gifts around Christmas time. Seems appropriate.
It's post-Thanksgiving. We can.
It's post-Thanksgiving. You're right. I spent like 3 hours today trying to put up Christmas decorations. Had to pull the tree out of the garage. Oh, gosh.
Speaking of Christmas time, I want to promote Brightside Night one more time. Segway.
I'm going to step back. Go on, Paul.
December 11th against the New Orleans Pelicans. We're running out of time here. We're trying to get as many tickets as possible bought so we can give some underprivileged youth a nice Christmas treat to go see their first Suns game. So please check out the Brightside website for all the details on how to purchase those tickets. It's not a lot of money out of your pocket. I know it's the giving season, so please give and let some of these kids check out the Suns play Anthony Davis and the Pelicans.
Thank you, Paul. Well said. Well done. And the children appreciate it.
I'm improving. I'm trying.
You're doing a fantastic job. I personally, I am proud of you. Proud.
I'm tearing up here.
Okay. Let's move on. Stop.
Stop.
Don't tear up. Suns. No, first of all, no. Suns. How was your Thanksgiving? I have to ask. I'm sorry.
It was good. I saw the fam. Had some...
You have 10 more seconds.
I had some family friends come over who I've known longer than I've known my sister. So that was really nice to see them again. And it was a really good time.
Okay, good. I feel like you didn't expect me to ask you that and threw you off a little bit. So cool.
Ready.
All right, perfect. Well,
we didn't talk politics. I hope
everybody out there had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I ate so much my children looked at me with a little bit of shame in their eyes, and that's exactly what Thanksgiving's all
about.
That's
how I always look at
Well, that's fair, actually. Okay.
Pretty sure you do the same.
Kind of mean, but okay. So, let's talk Suns. Paul and I have been gone for a week. We took a week off.
We're back.
We are back. We had a couple of, some interchanges about what we want to talk about on the show.
Some stuff happened.
And, Paul brought up a point that he doesn't know that he, and correct me if I'm wrong, necessarily agrees with the way Earl Watson handles his rotation, the way he's handling the young guys, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought I would give Paul the opportunity to, right here on the For the Fans, By the Fans podcast, explain to myself and explain to all of y'all listening what exactly he means. And then I can explain to him why he's completely and utterly wrong. Incompetent is kind of harsh, but wrong is
I like to be harsh
wrong will do. Okay, go on.
Anyway, it's really just this kind of came up when we were kind of trying to plan for last week's podcast, and unfortunately, due to some unforeseen events, we weren't able to do. And it was just I was getting concerned about Watson's rotations, being that we were watching Ulis get DMP coach decisions, Bender getting DMP coach decisions, and when they would get playing time, they were actually being positive players on the court, and then the next day they wouldn't play at all, and it's like, what the fuck is he doing?
Language, Paul.
Sorry.
I don't really care. Go on.
Anyway, I was just it seemed like Watson was really playing the veterans over the youth, which I kind of understand. You're trying to win. But the veterans were playing well, so why is he playing them when the young guys are actually producing and playing well? And the vets weren't, but he would play P.J. Tucker close to 40 minutes a night, and he can't shoot a three anymore.
Wow, first of all, P.J. Tucker would beat you up for saying that.
Except his stats show he can't shoot a three anymore.
Yeah, but he'd still beat you up for saying that. I'm sure he physically can shoot a three. You're saying you can't make them.
Yes, I can physically shoot a three, and I know I can't make them.
Right, so say what you mean. Don't mean what you say.
You can't make three.
Anyway, so your whole deal is basically that you feel Earl Watson should be playing the younger guys more than the veterans? Note, I don't say older guys because we are actually older than most of the veterans. So
right.
That would be insulting not only to them, but to us.
Not that he should be playing them more than the veterans, but that he should be playing them, period. I don't like seeing Bender and Ulis go games without getting any time on the court at all. Granted, things have changed in the past week. A lot of that had to do with opportunity, with Tyson being out dealing with the passing of his mother, and with TJ Warren's mystery injury.
Which is really weird. We'll talk about that later.
Which opened up some playing time that allowed Len to get some starters minutes, Bender to get some more time on the court, as well as Ulis to get time on the court.
But okay, let's look at it from this perspective. Chris has been getting his minutes. He's averaging, what, 14 to 16 a game, I would say?
Yeah.
I don't have the stats in front of me, Paul.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and for once in my life, Paul's given me a stat, and I'm going to trust it, because I think it's actually accurate. Dragan Bender, dude, is how old?
18.
He's how tall?
7'1".
He weighs how much?
225.
Soaking wet?
230. Depending on how much.
I think he weighs 215. I think he weighs 225 soaking wet when he's wearing 7 pounds of clothes. Anyway, it's not so much about, hey, let's just throw these guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think there's some benefit to be had by allowing them to sit, allowing them to wait? You don't want to throw in there. And as I put my fingers to my lips for Paul right there.
You put your fingers to my lips.
And then hey, they're not watching. Anyway, but isn't there something to be said about letting these guys sit and wait and learn and watch? What does Dragan Bender, the youngest player in the league, if I'm not mistaken, really gain from getting thrown into a situation where perhaps he's not ready? I mean, let's also take into account the fact that this dude just moved to America recently. I think there's a lot more harm you can do than good when it comes to a guy like Dragan Bender. Because I said this, I think, maybe one of the first or second pod that we did, the Shelby Miller effect. That dude's confidence went, and he has been just...
I was going to do the same thing, and I held myself back.
Thank you for waiting for me to do it. But he has just been like that ever since the confidence went. And when you've got an 18-year-old kid who could be the cornerstone of your team in the foreseeable future, you don't want to risk that over, what, maybe letting him run around on an NBA court a little bit more?
Except when he has been on the court, he's been very positive. He has one of the best plus-minuses if he's playing over 10 minutes on the court. And
who gave you that stat?
You did. I appreciate it.
What if I just made it all up? Just to make you look like a fool? Ah, damn it.
I've seen it myself. I just didn't remember the exact numbers.
No, you're right about that. He has in the games. Go ahead. Go on.
I just kind of look at it as he's showing flashes. Nurture those flashes. Let him play through some of the struggles, but he's obviously showing positive play on the court, and he's showing giving a positive contribution to what is happening on the court. Let him continue to do that. If he then starts to struggle, then maybe we pair it back. Maybe we send him down to the D League for a little bit, see what happens there. But
sorry, I gave you a look and you paused because it was a disgusted look, but I'll let you finish.
I mean, I'm not saying he needs to go down to the D League.
Oh,
right
don't
now.
No, don't change your thought process because I gave you the look.
I'm saying right now he's perfectly fine getting the time he's getting. I just kind of would like it to be a little bit more because I feel like his play has earned more time.
I feel like you're hedging on your point because you just said right now it's perfectly fine.
I'm saying he's earned more time. And that's where I'm going with that. I'm not going to get into a legal dispute with you because you will lawyer me.
Nothing legal about it. Just it's all logic, my friend. Okay. So, and you're right. He has, as I astutely pointed out.
As has Ulis.
As I astutely pointed out last week. I don't know if it's still true, but in games where Bender had played more than 10 minutes, he had the best plus minus of any player on the team in each of those games. And it was only like 4 games as of last week, but it's still something to be.
He didn't play in half of them.
Still something to be considered. But at the same time, again, I'm perfectly fine with him sitting on the bench, letting him chill, let him learn and practice, let him actually put on some freaking muscle onto that frame because he's also playing with a bunch of big boys in the NBA.
Right.
Remember back in the day in the NFL before quarterbacks used to just get thrown to the wolves?
Yeah.
They used to sit for 2-3 years. It's because they're not physically ready for this type of competition. And while the NBA is probably a lesser extreme than the NFL, it still applies. It still applies. I mean,
right? But why are we throwing? I'm
looking at the TV right now. I was watching Minnesota game, and I'm trying to look for an example. But they're playing against basically a team that's the same age as them. So,
well, because I guess here's the counterpoint to that: why is it okay to let Chris get those 15 minutes a game when he's actually kind of struggled, whereas Bender has been succeeding with the time he's given? So maybe we should be giving him a little bit more time and maybe pare back Chris's time a little bit.
Because Chris has at least a little bit of competition against the level of NBA players that we're looking at. Sorry, I just put in eye drops and that totally distracted me. because you've got Bender out there who's played, sparingly in pro leagues overseas, mm-hmm. which are different types of leagues. You have Chris, who played in one of the top 3 college-level leagues in the United States.
He's like only been playing basketball, period,
right,
for like
but who's also
years.
Still also older than Dragan Bender.
By like
I think
4
that,
months.
That's a big 4 months at that age, man. That is a big 4 months of that age.
I know. I changed a lot between 18 and 18.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Months.
I was there. I saw it.
I know you did.
Yeah. You put on plenty of...
6 pounds.
I was going to say weight, muscle, but... 6 pounds?
I don't know.
I think that's
way... No, actually, I think I'm
way more than 6 pounds.
Lost weight that freshman year.
Anyway.
Which would be hard to do.
But I think... I mean, and you also take into account the fact that every draft pundit on the way into that draft so that Marquise Chris was more prepared to play in the NBA than Dragan Bender.
Right, but Bender was obviously expected to be the better guy.
Stop dropping
was,
things.
Not obviously. Obviously is the wrong term, but they thought long term Bender would be the better player.
Sure, that's fine.
Which, that's why I'd like to see him like get some reps. You know, maybe be able to possibly accelerate that that track, whether it happens. I mean, I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that.
I don't want it to become David Carr or Alex Smith.
Or Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf.
I would say Greg
or
Oden,
Kwame
but that
Brown.
That was all just injury. Kwame Brown. Darko.
Michael Olokandi.
Darko Milicic.
Darko Milicic just sucked.
Can I point out, they've cut away now, but Tom Thibodeau just looks like a dick, doesn't he?
Yeah, he uses... There's something wrong there. Speaking of Tom Thibodeau, he...
Who?
I'm working on the segues. Apparently I'm getting better at the segues, but let me complete it. He apparently is getting a little... He likes to win too much and is not... happy with the development of the Timberwolves.
If he likes to win too much, that was a good idea taking the Timberwolves job, huh?
Well, you got a cornerstone possibly top five.
Well, I'm assuming you're saying he wants to win like now. Yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently rumors are that he's willing to trade one of these young cornerstone pieces of that team for a vet.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are we getting to everybody's favorite segment? Who does Paul want to trade today?
I don't know who I want to trade, but I know who I want to trade for.
Okay. Well, let's, you know what? It's not on point, but I'm going to let you go with it.
Well, I mean, I'm...
Proceed.
I still want to trade Brandon Knight, but it's probably the kind of guy they're looking for.
Yeah. I'll trade Brandon Knight, too.
I'd take... I mean...
So let's take let's take Brandon Knight off the table.
Let's take Brandon Knight off the table.
Yeah, because I would trade him for...
A bag of beans?
Are they magic?
They could be.
Do I know they are?
No.
Deal. I'll take him. You're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance.
Okay. Okay.
You're so saying Brandon, there's a chance.
Brandon Knight is off the table. Go.
Okay. So there's you're basically looking at Karl-Anthony Towns is probably off the table. There's no way they're trading him.
No big cat?
No big cat. I love little big cat.
Little big cat.
Little big cat.
That's confusing.
Not Big Cat from Barstool.
I would also take him on the Suns.
So
for sure.
But yeah, could have a good shot at maybe like bringing in a Wiggins.
Can I just say, Barstool Big Cat? One of the best lines I ever heard. Life's too short to bet on the under. A friend of mine totally agrees with that and follows it all the time.
How much money has he won?
My friend, I don't know. I don't talk financials with him. But a lot.
So that pretty much leaves Wiggins, Levine, and maybe Gorgie Jang, and maybe Chris Dunn. Seeing as Chris Dunn's
not
played,
I don't want Chris Dunn.
I don't really want Chris Dunn either. But I would be more than happy to take Levine or Wiggins off their hands if they want to. If they want to take Brandon Knight back, sure.
Which one would you? No, we already took Brandon off the table, Paul. Stop breaking the rules.
Stop breaking the rules.
Levine or Wiggins. Wiggins. Which one would you prefer?
Which one would I prefer? I would probably prefer Wiggins. I think he has more potential long term.
Agreed.
Would you be willing? Would you be willing to give up Bledsoe for Wiggins? What if he asked for Bledsoe and Len for Wiggins and Jang? And probably have to throw in Pekovic to make the money work. But you just waive Pekovic and move on.
I honestly don't know that much about Mr. Jang.
He's a pretty good backup center, which is basically Len's ceiling.
Then, at this point. And so we're looking at what? Running Ulis and Knight and Booker as our guards?
I think Wiggins can play the 2-3, so...
Okay. Ooh. That was confusing, but anyway. Sorry, we were watching the game. One minute left, Suns are up by... Down. 11.
Yeah, they were up by like 11. And we weren't paying attention, and then we looked over.
We've done this twice now, Paul. Every time we record, they just go to shit. We gotta stop this. Okay. But anyway, I would... if we're talking about... Getting Wiggins, and you're saying Bledsoe, Len for Wiggins and Jang?
Yeah.
And then throw in whatever, blah, blah,
blah. To
make
the money work. Actually,
I don't know. You know what? Gun to my head, yes. I would do it. Because I would put my faith in Booker working out, because he's been scaring the crap out of me this season. And Ulis working out. Because I feel like Brandon Knight's not going to be around that much longer, but obviously he's off the table on this whole deal. And I really, really, really do like the potential upside of Andrew Wiggins. I mean, homeboy was, what, the number one pick in the draft?
Yeah.
It doesn't just, like, that's not just not magic.
No.
Unless you're
Bennett. Magic Johnson.
Bennett. Then then you magically get drafted number one and then just...
Was or he Michael Olukandi or Kwame Brown.
Yeah, well, Kwame Brown is more just Michael Jordan not being a very good surveyor of talent.
No, this is true.
And not very good is a compliment. A very strong compliment. You're welcome, Michael Jordan. You're welcome.
Yeah, he needs to learn from Larry Bird.
What we need to learn is we are never going to start recording while the Suns are playing, because we literally were like, we are a minus 22 right now.
We are a minus 22.
No, tonight. I think we're a minus 25.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I should have more sense of this, Suns fans. Ryan McDonough, Robert Sarver, I apologize. Anyway, moving on.
Hey, Big Cat won.
Big Cat versus Big Sauce?
Big Cat versus Big Sauce. Man.
See, we should get him just to have, like, two big nicknames on our team. No?
You don't like it?
Okay. Nah. So, Minnesota trade. Are we done with this?
I think we're done.
Done talking about that?
Yeah.
I told you, we get distracted. The Suns game's on.
Well, I mean, if we traded for LaVine, we'd be on Vines a lot.
Dude, that guy, you know, I'm a U of A guy. I remember seeing him when he was at UCLA, and I really wanted the Suns to get him when he was even in college. And since you're an ASU guy, I know you don't watch basketball because you guys are always horrible at it.
I'm not an ASU guy. Went to ASU. Oh. I'm a USD guy like okay. you.
Well, an ASU, you and your semantics. So, but at any rate, I paid a lot of attention to Zach LaVine when he was in college, and I love him as a player, and I would enjoy seeing him in a Suns uniform.
Yeah.
But then the issue becomes all he does is create a further backlog. Now, if it was, hey, we'll take Brandon Knight, and then you can have Zach LaVine, I'd be like, okay, and where do I pay for everybody's plane tickets? Because I will do that right now. But obviously that would never happen, so.
No.
All right. What else do we have to talk about, Paul?
I don't know. What do we write down?
I don't know. I'm reading right now. 3-point percentage.
Oh, yeah.
We're bad at that.
Yeah, we suck.
We are bad at that.
It,
is that it? We done?
Yeah.
Boom. Well, we suck.
Well, particularly the backcourt. I think Jared Dudley is saving half that percentage.
His dunk percentage still sucks.
Woohoo!
My friend's betting year so far would probably indicate that you're going to win that bet. But anyway, things can turn around. So, the Suns' three-point percentage has been just horrific this year.
Yeah.
Booker's been down. Granted, 1 year to go off, but still down. He dipped at the end of last year, too.
But Booker
is... this a trend? Are we just seeing what he is? Because if that's the case, then so be it, because he can still score. But right. if he could shoot 35% from 3-point range, I would be like, hey, LeBron, you suck. Devin Booker's better. I'll say that anyway because I just don't like LeBron.
I mean, I hope it turns around. He shows flashes. He'll go for like a game where he shoots like 5 or 6 from three, and then goes 1 for 6 from three the next game. It would be nice to be some semi consistent there. I mean, he's obviously still getting his points, but he has like Kobe efficiency, which I'm not looking forward to that long
like
term.
Late career Kobe efficiency, because Kobe was pretty, come on, you know, like you can't really complain about Kobe like in his prime.
I mean, he's not Iverson inefficient, but
no, okay.
I mean, Kobe wasn't the most efficient player in the world. He was a volume shooter,
right? Well, most shooting guards like really are, right?
No, I mean there are other ones. There are certain.
Not all of them are Swaggy P.
Not all of them are Swaggy P. No, who steal their own teammates' pass.
That was ridiculous. Only Swaggy P could steal a pass meant for his own teammate and then turn into a game winner.
And turn into a hero.
And then also only Swaggy P could celebrate a 3-pointer before he makes it and then have that forever live in a GIF on my phone.
It's graphic interface something or other. It's a GIF.
Thank you.
Not a GIF.
Well, GIF is peanut butter. Yeah. That's how I'm going to remember this now. Okay. So, continue.
So, I mean, yeah, Knight's down, Booker's down, Bledsoe's down. Ulis doesn't have anything to compare against. I don't even know if he's shot a three yet. He's probably shot a couple. But yeah, those basically threes basically rely on the backcourt, and our backcourt's down across the board.
Right. And I was looking back at some of the, you know, you look back at some of the early season losses, you know, the 3-point loss to what, Golden State? 6-point loss to Golden State?
Yeah, they're
3-point loss to Oklahoma City. I might be off on all of those, but there were at least some. There was definitely a 3-point loss to Portland.
There's a
Portland
handful.
That if even one of those guys were shooting their regular, normal, average, you know, over their career,
yeah,
then those are wins. Which you look at it and you think, okay, this team, as far off as maybe it looks, maybe it's not that far off. Maybe it's not that far off.
Well, I guess what is the issue though? Why are they missing so much? Is it the sets they're running? Is it something else? Are the sets just breaking down and everybody's going ISO and then taking shitty shots?
That's a great question. When I go to Suns Yoga, I'm going to ask Earl Watson.
I think I might just ask Kellen. He pays more attention to that stuff than I do.
Hey, Kellen, can you answer that question? And if you can't, I'll go ask Earl Watson.
I mean, I do know that Booker tends to be like the safety valve a lot. Mm-hmm. And if a play breaks down, they're running out the clock. It's like give it to Booker in a ISO to take a very low percentage shot. And that's part of the reason his percentages are down across the board this season.
I feel like Booker is almost taking it upon himself too much.
Agreed.
I feel like he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Suddenly I'm the face of the franchise. Blah, blah, blah. I'm a young kid. I need to do this. I need to succeed. And he's forcing it too much. And you know what? I think that as he gets older, what, did he just turn 20?
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way. You are 20.
I'll buy you a drink in a year.
Almost drink. But I feel like as he gets a little bit older and as the team matures around him, that type of pressure is going to come off. Why'd you whisper, who is that guy to me right now?
The guy just to the right, or not, actually the guy's in between the two Toms. They're both kind
of
weird.
All I see are a bunch of weird people in the background.
The guy showing off his arm tattoos.
Which guy showing off his arm tattoos? I see no arm tattoos.
The guy with his hands in the air, in the black shirt. Okay, let's move on from this because nobody wants to hear this.
I don't want to hear this. And I'm living it, so y'all out there, imagine how bad I feel. Okay, so I feel like it's a maturity thing for the Suns.
Yeah,
I feel like Booker, when he came in last year, when he started really like showing his shit, he was like just launching. He had nothing to lose. He was the youngest player in the league, and then suddenly he became way more important to the team.
Yeah.
He became the guy that was supposed to lead this team. And the pressure got a little heavy, and he's been receding. Receding is probably not the word. It's like a hairline. But he's been regressing a bit.
He has been.
Which goes back to our point earlier and why maybe letting Dragan Bender not get too much run right now in the NBA is not a bad thing.
I don't want him playing 30 minutes, but 10 would be nice. Not getting DNPs. Give him 10 minutes a run. You can. PJ Tucker does not need to be playing 40 minutes a night, 3 games in a row.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, sure he does. You want to save those Dragan Bender legs for when he's ready for the NBA, bro.
You want to save those Dragan Bender legs for the playoffs?
No, I'm saving them for the for years into his career.
But
no, but yeah, you got nothing. Okay, anyway. So, do you have anything else to say at all about anything in life, period? No?
No.
You'll be quiet forever.
No.
Damn. I'm sorry, folks. I was close to going to be quiet forever. Do you have any other closing comments about the Phoenix Suns? Tonight, last night, or in the weeks past?
They are, overall, they're doing what I hope they do.
Yeah, we know, Paul. Okay.
And lose.
We don't need to rehash this. We know.
Good pick. Actually, I do have a point that I did want to say was, you diverted it and I wasn't able to get back to it.
I'm so sorry.
I was kind of hoping that with Bledsoe and Knight and Warren all coming back, that Because part of, to me, part of the reason Booker's percentages went down towards the end of last year was he really was the only option. So everybody was keying in on him and just was being double teamed all the time, taking a lot of hard shots. And he was a rookie, so his percentages went down. I was hoping that with having actual offensive threats in Warren and Knight and Bledsoe on the court, they would draw away some of that defensive pressure, which they have, but Booker's still not hitting his shots like consistently, which is a bit of concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping it's just a temporary thing and it's just maybe like a little bit of a sophomore slump and he just needs to reevaluate and readjust and we'll move forward, but it is a concern. And that's really kind of all I wanted to say. I'm concerned again.
Okay. You had to put us all through that?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I share in your concern, and I have for a while. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
We did not talk about TJ Warren's weird head thing, but let's not. You know what?
We don't know enough about that.
I don't want to say anything because I just want to hope by next week when we do this, he's going to be back being
Warren-y.
I was going to let you throw his nickname out there.
Oh, Tony Buckets?
Tony Buckets, yes. Yes, because, you know, I didn't know that was actually his nickname a couple weeks ago. Shocking. At any rate, as always, thank you for listening. I hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving. Hope y'all avoided all that bullshit out there on Black Friday. And until next time, have a good morning, good afternoon, or good night, depending on when you're listening.
Adios, amigos.
Amigos. Take care, folks.